So the revelation here was that this is already totally normalized. It's become hot recently. I think a lot more money is starting to flow into it because it is so effective and because there's this sort of the availability of this option is growing. And now it's becoming this interesting new dynamic.
Hey gang, it's Monday, January 22nd. Ethan and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by our principal forecasting writer based in New York, the city version. It's Ethan Kramer Flood.
I'm rolling solo with you today, Marcus. That's exciting.
I know, you lucky devil. I'm kidding. So sorry for this. Anyway, to today's fact, I don't know why they're all so astronomy focused. Astrology focused.
Hopefully not astrology.
Astronomy focused. I can never remember which one. The galaxy.
Astronomical.
Thank
you. Astronomical in nature.
Yes, exactly. That's a good way of remembering it. The galaxy based. But I've got another one for you. We had a couple on the weekly listen about the sun and about Bill came up with something that was definitely inaccurate. I don't trust Bill. But this one is about the moon. We only see one side of the moon. Since the Earth and the moon's rotations are synchronous, we only ever see one face. I read that and then I became instantly suspicious that there are like a bunch of people having a party like on the other side.
So the dark side of the moon is just never viewed at all unless you're an astronaut and you get to go.
What's going on? What's going on there? You know, great place to hide from the police. If you need to lay low for a while, I'll investigate. I probably won't. Anyway, today's real topic. Forecasting trends to watch in 2024. In today's episode, we'll cover some, even as you call them, under-the-radar metrics, making big moves in 2024. And so basically what happens is Ethan, who's our senior forecasting writer, gets to be involved in all of the forecasts that we put out. And as he's sitting in all these meetings, all these numbers are going up and down the screens and the analysts on the team are talking about why they move different numbers up, down, left or right. He's able to pick out all these different milestone moments, all these different significant trends that are going to be coming up as a result of all of this movement going on within the forecasting team. And so you've pulled out a couple here for us, Ethan. We're going to talk about a handful. There's more in the report, but let's get to it. The first one you wanted to discuss was about gaming. And you call it a digital advertising hotbed.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, indeed. So yeah, that's, you pretty much got it with the concept of this report. And I'll walk through three and I'll talk about the digital gaming. But just to clarify, I think what's interesting about this report is specifically that it's compiling a series of forecasts that are looking pretty good that are maybe under the radar, right? So I didn't go in here to inform our readers that, you know, retail media ad spending is hot or that like CTV is hot. Like everybody knows that, right? So we have lots of cool trends reports for 2024 about TikTok, if that's what you want to read. My colleagues have written wonderful reports on all that big, big stuff that we all kind of know about already. So the mission here, and thanks for giving me credit for coming up with these, but I got to be honest and say is my forecasting colleagues.
We can cut out.
did. I make the words pretty. You know, I write the pretty sentences.
But someone's got to.
My forecasting colleagues helped compile all these cool ideas by scouring everything that we've done over the last few months to find these metrics that are kind of popping for 2024 that maybe don't get as much attention. So yeah, so we'll go over a few of them today. So digital gaming, right? This is a cool one. This is one of those, the advertising spend on digital games, right? This has been kind of hovering in the background for a while now. Doesn't get a lot of attention, but we've noticed that in pretty short order, the numbers are starting to get serious. So the amount of advertising spend that goes into games just as recently as maybe 5 years ago, it was like $1 billion. Now, $1 billion is nice and all, but like that doesn't really get a lot of attention in the overall advertising, digital advertising world where the numbers are much bigger. But within a couple of years from now, it's going to be up to $10 billion. You know, it's been a lot of growth really fast. And in 2024, we're talking about 16% growth. This year, we're talking 13%, next year, 11%. Double digit growth for a whole bunch of years in a row. It's still going. You're starting to get up into the kind of spending levels where people have to take notice.
Yeah.
Right. So these are the ads that we've all seen them probably to our annoyance, right? You're playing a game on your phone one of those free-to-play games, and you know, at the end of every stage, an ad pops up, and then you got to wait for the countdown, and then you can skip the ad, and then another one pops up, and you can skip the ad, right? So these things, they've been going on for a while. We all know those ads, but they've gotten bigger and more prominent and more successful and more effective. And, you know, the reputation.
Why is that?
I think that the industry realized that there was an opportunity here, so they got their ducks in order. So this has been ignored in the past, both because the numbers weren't that big and probably reputationally it wasn't the best, right? If you can remember in your heads when you're playing these games and those ads that pop up are maybe not the highest quality ads, maybe not the highest quality advertisers.
Or the best experience.
Right? It's almost always like, it seemingly was almost always other games, other free games, like putting up an ad to get you to download their game while you're playing the other game. And then you download that game and their ads are for like another game. And it's like, what is this? Some kind of pyramid scheme? We're all just going in a circle here, like buying ads on our free games to download other free games. Like, where's the money? Anyway, that's evolving, right? That's changing now because these ads work. Obviously, mobile gaming is unbelievably popular. Like everybody does that. And now you're starting to get higher quality ads from higher quality advertisers. And the numbers are starting to get really real to the point where now I think this is something you have to pay attention to. And then I'll finish up on this topic with also saying that non-mobile gaming, that is still pretty small in terms of the ads that appear on consoles or on your PCs while you're playing. That's much smaller, but that's getting into the $1 billion range also now and also showing spectacular growth. So both on mobile, which is bigger, non-mobile, which is smaller, we're seeing big growth, particularly in comparison to like all the other ad spending metrics in the rest of the digital world, where like the growth numbers are not so big anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That non-mobile gaming portion is interesting. So you were talking about total game ad revenues at the start of this section, and they're going to get to $8.5 billion and call it $9 billion this year. And pretty good staircase growth going forward. They're adding about $1 billion each of the next couple of years. But when you look at that non-mobile gaming ad revenue number, it's small but mighty. Money made from ads shown on console and PC games, as you explain, close to 10% of the gaming industry's total. All right, Ethan, let's move to another trend that you have, that you've found based on looking at a ton of forecasting data. Shoppable media is everywhere and consumers are embracing it, you write. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, this was a debut forecast that produced some surprising results, so we wanted to feature it. This one isn't so much about the scale of the growth, but it's about the absolute scale. So shoppable media ads, that's a term that kind of got hot over the last, I don't know, 3, 6, 9 months. Everybody's been talking about shoppable media and we didn't have a forecast for it. So we're like, all right, we got to get some numbers on paper here. We got to figure out, you know, how common is this? How popular is this? How's it doing? Turns out shoppable media is already huge. It's already mainstream. It's already normalized. So shoppable media, for those who don't know, or at least this is how we define it, I guess some of these emerging terms sort of evolve over time, but we basically define it like if you are a shoppable media buyer, which is what we're tracking here, that means you are a buyer who has made at least one purchase during the calendar year immediately after consuming some kind of online media content, which could be video, text, or images, that has an immediate purchase option embedded into or adjacent to the content. And this could be ads, sponsored content, organic content. In other words, all that is a long way of saying it's the sort of one-click options. You're watching streaming video, or you're more likely you're on social media and there's some kind of ad there, and it's like boom, one click and you have the ability to buy whatever it is that you were looking at,
or QR code, something that pops up
where you're immediately going to have the buying option. Now this is pretty common, right? And when I see this stuff, just like, oh yeah, I know that, like we've all been doing that. Well, we have all been doing that, and that was the sort of the finding, is that we're looking at almost 100 million shoppable media buyers in the US already. We're talking about 45% of people who do any kind of online shopping have already clicked through on a shoppable media ad, 40% of all internet users, and climbing. So the revelation here was that this is already totally normalized. It's become hot recently. I think a lot more money is starting to flow into it because it is so effective and because there's this sort of the availability of this option is growing. And now it's becoming this interesting new dynamic on smart TV, where we actually have shoppable media up on our TV screens. Of course, that would not have been the case in the past. So our finding was just sort of like, oh yeah, like this is not, we don't need to train consumers on this kind of advertising. Like this is already completely
common. Well, so if I was to push back on it, because it is a staggering number, considering that it seems like a relatively new market, that 100 million people are already doing this. To what you were saying, our definition is once a year.
So
how many of those people do you think it's, you know, I tried it once and I am counted in the definition, even though I'm not going back to it, versus no, this is a sustained behavior?
No, and that's a good point. And so we don't know yet, you know, and were people even sort of aware that they were engaging with a sort of different modified form of digital advertising? How often they do it? We'll get there, right? So this is just the beginning. We're just cracking the surface here. We're working on, we would love to get a forecast on the actual e-commerce spend that emerges from Shoppable Media, right? We want to get some sales, so we don't have that yet, but teaser, you know, we'll try to get it. And then to narrow it down from once a year to once a month. So the majority of our forecasting metrics across everything that we cover eventually is going to end up being monthly users or monthly behavior. But when something is new and starting out, we tend to do an annual thing, particularly if it's less common, because that what that does is sort of let us know how many people are at least familiar with this or comfortable with it, as opposed to this is working all the time.
Yeah, it's still a staggeringly high number for people that have tried it out, you know. So I think that the fact that it's people that are relatively aware of it or have some experience with it is still important. And we're not showing this number dropping. You know, we're still showing it's 100 plus million, and it's going to tick up over the next couple of years. So we're not expecting there to be a drop off because people have used it once and aren't going to go back to it in the future.
Or, they are being turned off. I mean, that was one of the things that I immediately thought of is sort of like, you see those Instagram Shoppable Media ads and sometimes they seem shady and sometimes they don't work properly, you know, and there's other, I mean, some of the QRs, there's newer things and it's a danger zone when something is being rolled out early and, you know, consumer has a bad experience, but they did it once, they have a bad experience. Okay, we count them as a shopper, but then, you know, the next year they're not. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Like, this seems to be moving forward pretty well.
And a lot of time the trend is driven by the industry. And so if consumers, you know, consumers may not think that they want whatever the technology is, but if the industry thinks that they, you know, foldable phones, or if that's smart glasses, the industry is really trying hard to say, no, we think this can be a thing and we're going to force it upon you until you listen. I say that because lots of ad folks are taking shoppable ads seriously. And by ad folks, I mean ad industry folks. There was a November 2022 study, so over a year ago now, IAB, showing 43% of US buy-side ad decision makers, US buy-side ad decision makers plan to focus significantly or somewhat more on shoppable ads in 2023. So that was last year. You'd imagine that that number would be higher this year. No real reason why it shouldn't be. Let's move to the last trend we're going to talk about. Like I said, there are a couple more we're not covering today in your research. The rideshare industry, you say, is once again flying high. Talk to me.
Yeah, this was interesting. This was a continuation of a story that maybe was the continuation element was unexpected. So it may already be known to listeners that companies like particularly Uber, but also Lyft and the general ride sharing industry, you know, had a terrible 2020 during the heart of the pandemic, right? They were cratered, could have gone bankrupt, right? It was wondering if these companies could even continue to exist. And then it's also already a known story that they had this tremendous rebound, as with many other elements when societies reopened, particularly in the US, they bounced back. And it took a little bit longer for that industry to bounce back as for some others. But by 2022 and 2023, a lot of the metrics had recovered to 2019 levels. The new finding, which is why it got into this report.
Well, really quickly, just to stay on that, just give people some numbers. Yeah, ride sharing in terms of the dollars did return to, as Ethan said, pre-pandemic levels in 2022. Last year, so 2023, they're 25% larger than they were pre-pandemic. And this year, those dollars for ride sharing will be 50% larger than they were pre-pandemic. And then to ride-sharing users, that was money, ride-sharing users, that recovered in 2023. So dollars 2022, users 2023.
Yep. And it's that dollars element that is surprising, because not only has it fully recovered and not only has it expanded beyond pre-pandemic levels, but we're expecting another surge. We're expecting acceleration in 2024. 22.3% increase in sales for the industry overall, getting up to $66 billion. That's really interesting. You know, when they crunched the numbers and looked at it, there's still more headroom for growth. It is no longer just a recovery story. It's an expansion story. It's a combination of both, actually, because what we're finding is that there are still actually at the margins element. There are people in this country that are still a little slow rolling their return to normal behavior, or normal society. Obviously, it goes without saying that return to office elements have been very complicated depending on what city you're in. Like, not everyone's back in the office. But there are still continually evolutions in that direction, which means that there is even more opportunity for companies like Uber and Lyft to get even more, because not everyone is actually fully back on board yet, but they're coming. They're continually coming. They're continually changing. And then Uber is just doing a really good job. And these, I mean, it's, I feel like this is a little bit under the radar, particularly for Lyft, because Lyft hasn't done so well as a business, right? So we're not covering things like profit. I'm not talking about whether or not Lyft is, you know, doing a good job as an overall company, right? They're having a lot of problems. But their sales are also growing really well, and their user base is also growing really well. Like, this is an all-around success story. Uber has turned themselves profitable and become a successful company. Lyft is still a big question mark, but it's not for lack of demand, right? We're showing continuous, strong expansion of demand on the user side, and users themselves are also spending more money per person. So that's why sales are growing even faster than users.
Yeah.
It's all around kind of a sort of impressive story, particularly the fact that it's going to keep going, even though the pandemic is now pretty far in the background.
Yeah, the amount each user spending on ride sharing growing 14% this year. So that's an important metric. Folks are spending more individually on ride sharing. You mentioned Uber, about 75% of the market, of the dollars coming from them. So they're obviously the majority there. What I think's interesting, though, Yuri Wurmser wrote about this a month or two ago, Uber's ad market. So we expect Uber to surpass $1 billion in ad revenues this year. And Yuri was noting, he's our principal analyst, he's noting that both of the major players, Uber and Lyft, continuing to introduce new ad formats, from backseat displays to obviously in-app ads, which people may have seen popping up on their devices whilst they're waiting for the ride to show up. The other part of this, Ethan, I think is interesting. Again, this is looking further into the future, but driverless cars, and Yuri wrote quickly about this as well, from Uber and Lyft. So if Uber and Lyft move towards driverless cars, two things jump out to me. One, you're allowed to reimagine the layout of the car if you don't need a driver. And so maybe now you're not looking at the back of someone's seat, you're looking at like a wraparound screen in front of you, which you can only imagine how excited advertisers would be to be able to put that ad in front of you as you're going along. Maybe that brings the price down. I'm not sure. But we're not going to see these on the highways anytime soon or running around through New York. But you can see them on university campuses, Disneyland parks, you know, more contained spaces perhaps, or environments. And the second part of this is that by 2027, we think a third of Americans will be using ride-hailing platforms. That's a huge audience for advertisers.
Thank you for all of that additional input. You should have told me that so I could put that part in the report.
I'm all over it. I know.
Credit to Yuri.
I stole it from Yuri, yeah. The report, if you want to read the remaining trends, is called Forecast Trends to Watch in 2024. Five under-the-radar metrics making big moves. Link in the show notes, of course, or you can head to insiderintelligence.com and just look for that title or search for Ethan's name. That's what we've got time for this episode. Ethan, thank you so much, fella, for hanging out today.
Oh, man, it's so short. Like, we can't keep going. No.
It goes fast. I know. It moves quick. Right. Thank you so, so much.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show, James, who copy edits it, Stu, who runs the team, and Sophie, who does our social media. Thanks to everyone for listening in. We hope to see you tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast.